Let's read a little bit from the book of Psalms 74. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Remember thy congregation, which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed this Mount Zion, wherein thou hast dwelt. Lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolations, even all that the enemy hath done wickedly in the sanctuary. Thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregations. They set up their ensigns for signs. A man was famous according as he had lifted up axe upon the thick trees. But now they break down the carved work thereof at once with axes and hammers. They have cast fire into thy sanctuary. They have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. They said in their heart, let us destroy them all together. They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet. Neither is there among us any that knoweth how long. O God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? Why withdrawest thou thy hand, even thy right hand? Pluck it out of thy bosom. For God is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in the waters. Thou breakest the head of Leviathan in pieces, and gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. Thou didst cleave the fountain and the flood. Thou driest up mighty rivers. The day is thine, the night also is thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter. Remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, O Lord, and that the foolish people have blasphemed thy name. O deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. Forget not the congregation of thy poor forever. Have respect unto the covenant. For the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. O let not the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and needy praise thy name. Arise, O God, plead thine own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproacheth thee daily. Forget not the voice of thine enemies. The tumult of those that rise up against thee increaseth continually. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks. For that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. We notice here in the book of Psalms, the 74th chapter, it says, we see not our signs. It says, because they burned all the synagogues of God in the land. It says, there is no more any prophet, neither is there among us any that knoweth how long. O God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? You know, this was a sad thing to Israel. When Israel could not find a prophet, Israel, all the days of their life, God furnished them with a prophet. And as the thing began to recede concerning Israel and the purpose of Israel in the earth, then the prophets seemed to be taken away from them. And God, not willing that they should know the way, He took their prophets away from them that they might be blinded in part, that they might not know the time of the coming of the Lord, being blinded in part that their scholars might not understand, so that the fullness of the Gentiles or the time of the Gentiles could come in, and until the fullness of the Gentiles that Israel should not know anything from that time on. Now, Paul tells us, being a Jew, he tells us how great and marvelous the wisdom of God is in what God has done. God has done a great and marvelous thing. And he tells us how great and wonderful it is in that God has blinded Israel in part until the fullness of the Gentiles become. God doing this that he might have mercy on Israel. That is to say, if a person has done things in ignorance, then they have mercy. They can obtain mercy. But if the things that they do, if it's not in ignorance, then they cannot obtain mercy. See, if you do something that's wrong when you, that is, if you know better than to do it, there's no mercy for you. But if you don't know any better, then that's different. God will have mercy on you. Israel doing the things that they have done down through the years has been in ignorance. God said, how great, or Paul said, how great is the mercy of God that he hath allowed this thing so that he could have mercy on Israel. That is, at the end of the church ages, God could bring in the wonderful mercies of God upon Israel. You know, God is doing something at this moment. He is moving by his Spirit in such a great, miraculous way, doing such great, astounding things, until the ministry of today is literally confounded. Even the ministry of today, they're literally confounded. They don't know which way to go, and they don't know what to do. You know, Brother Parnell today came to visit with us. He'd been over in the islands, the Virgin Islands. He'd come back through on his way to Kentucky. He had a number of people with him. Today we were standing right where our Brother Jerry is sitting. And Brother Parnell, standing down on the steps there, leaning across the rail, he was telling me today in so many words how that he understood that God was making a tremendous change. And that though he had followed the ministry of Brother William Branham for years, and though this had been the thing throughout the world, one of the greatest things on the earth, he told me in few words how that he realized at this moment that God was making a change. And he said, Brother Pike, he said, you know, this is the time when people really get into trouble and when they really have problems. He said, God doing a thing, just keep on, you know, keep on year after year. And all of a sudden, God just makes a radical change and changes what he's doing. He said the people get lost in mind, so to speak, and they just get tore up. And they don't know what to do because he's doing things so differently from the way that he had been doing them before. And he acknowledged that right at this moment that that's what God was doing, and that is true. People, ministers, people abroad throughout the world, they're literally confounded. They can't get their bearings. I have ministers coming all the time. And they'll say, Brother Pike, I can't figure this thing out. I can't tell what's going on. Said it's been going a certain way and all of a sudden I can't get it to fit no more. And Brother JT talking today brought the thoughts back to my mind, you know, that this really is the problem with the people of today. And he said, you know, it's like Israel. They had followed a certain pattern. Things had gone a certain direction. Everything was looking good. They understood it. And all of a sudden, here comes a prophecy that says, behold, a virgin shall be with child. And said it was so confounding and so different until nobody could get a hold of it. Nobody could really believe it. And then when it came to pass, it was so different till it just upset everything, turned everything around, and nobody could get their bearings after that. And an entire new move began to come in, and God began to do a new thing. I like that. God said, I'll do a new thing. And just about the time the world gets in a rut with the things that they're doing, God does a new thing. Isn't that right? And so then those that are foolish and those that don't care and those that's just in it for a gimmick or for personality, all of a sudden they're confounded and they start fighting against Almighty God, and then they find themselves in the ditch somewhere and God leaves them there. And those that are sincere, those that are godly, those that are righteous, those that really wanted to do right, God will reach over, pick them up, reprogram them and put them in His new program and take them right on, and they'll make it right on across that Jordan. Hallelujah. It's so wonderful to be a child of God, and it's so wonderful to be tuned in on heaven. The things that have been taking place in the Spirit as of late, what can you say? Can you say they're so wonderful? So exceedingly wonderful? They've always been exceedingly wonderful. Everything God's ever done, everything that we've ever seen, everything you've ever known, everything God does is exceedingly and abundantly glorious. But the thing is, right at this moment, God is doing something that is so exceedingly wonderful that the human mind cannot get a hold of it. The human mind cannot comprehend it. It is abundantly above all that you can ask or that you can think. It's exceedingly wonderful. God is trying to pass it on to the church world for the simple reason that the world has come to an end and everything is over. And in that the world has come to an end and everything is over, there's not anything left except for the church. And people are going from place to place. They're tore up. They don't know what to do. And they're trying to get a word of prophecy, or being lifted up by their fleshly mind and not knowing what they're doing. They're trying to give a word of prophecy. And they're causing God to get upset at them. And ministers and churches and people everywhere, God's beginning to turn His wrath on them. And the elect is beginning to bypass all of this, and God's gradually bringing them in and shutting the others out and leaving them out in the darkness of their human reasoning and their human intelligence. And they're like a blind man. The Bible said, if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. And they're like blind men that's going to and fro, trying to lead the people. But you know, I'm so thankful to God that I can see. I'm so thankful to God that having eyes, I see, and having ears, I hear. And this is what protects me down through the years. And this is what protects the real child of God. They hear God's voice. They know God's voice. They know where they're going, and they know what they're doing. They know what has been, and they know what's going to be. And so then, having eyes to see, and having ears to hear, every day, as Jesus said, I see that which the Father's doing. And every day my ears is tuned in on glory. And I hear what the Father is saying every step of the way. And even this very day, I've been listening close to the wonderful voice of God. Yesterday I was listening to the voice of God. And I was tuned in on heaven. And I heard those beautiful, wonderful things that Jesus said to me. And I watched the revelation all day long yesterday. I watched it carefully. And then today I begin to watch the glorious revelation of Jesus Christ again. And the things that He showed today and the things that He said today was so astoundingly wonderful. And you know the beauty of it, it's not that you just hear the revelation or know what God is saying. Just that alone is beautiful. That alone is worth more than all the world. But it's not just that. It remains the fact that after that you've heard this glorious, wonderful news from heaven, it remains the fact that you don't have just that for a treasure, but what you have been told lets you know what is taking place in heaven. And the glory of this thing is not just a knowledge of what has taken place, whereas I say that's glorious. But the glory of it is that the thing took place in heaven. And God told you what He'd done in heaven. And God told you. He told you what His planned and program was. Like He said concerning Abraham of old. Shall I hide this thing from Abraham? Abraham's my friend, seeing that Abraham's going to order his household after him. Shall I then hide this wonderful thing from Abraham? Did you know God still has some friends in the earth? And did you know he still fellowships those friends and he still comes by? And he, as we say, sits down and talks with us. Did you know that God still has a friend in the earth? So then God shows these wonderful things to his friends, to his wonderful children, to those that are concerned. God makes known to us his will, and God tells us his purpose, and God tells us his plans, and we understand these wonderful things. This was the thing that troubled Israel. This is what David spoke of in the book of Psalms. He said, is there no prophet in the land? Is there no one in the land? Isn't there anyone at all that knows what's happening or knows how long this reproach is going to continue? That people have opportunity to blaspheme the name of God? Is it that God has cast his people off forever? David said, Lord, why would you be angry with us? Why would you be upset with us? Why is this thing happening to us? How long will you let this happen? But he said, Lord, there's no prophets in the land. Isn't there anybody that knows how long? But you know, that's what we need to do. We need to get down on our knees and talk to God and say, how long? Does anybody know how long? Is there a prophet in the land? Is there anybody anywhere that can tell us anything that really knows what they're saying? Or are they just guessing? Are they just moving by inspiration? Which is wonderful. If a man moves by inspiration, if a man says, thus saith God or the Lord by inspiration, if a man delivers a sermon, if he's inspired so that he can run all over the church, that's wonderful. But is there anybody that actually knows what God is doing, that God is told? Is there anybody that really understands what's happening and what God is going to do about the situation? David said, this is what we need to understand. This is what we need to know. Daniel of old fasted and prayed. Though he was down in Babylon, it didn't make any difference to him about his surroundings and his environments. While other people was mourning and groaning and going on and fussing and fighting and guessing and trying to figure out when it would be over and why it all happened, Daniel turned his face to God and he began to call on God and he began to say, Lord, how long? Oh God, make me to know, give me the understanding. Lord, inspire me and speak to me and program my mind that I might understand what's taking place. And the great Holy Spirit that's the same yesterday, today, and forever, it began to overshadow Daniel just like it did Mary. And the wonderful knowledge of Almighty God began to flood Daniel's soul. And Daniel began to listen to the angel of God, said, Daniel, and thus, and thus, and thus. And this is how long it shall be, Daniel. And this shall happen, and that shall happen. But be sure that it's like I told you. Hallelujah. So then, that's what we need. That's what we need. We need to get in touch with God. Does anybody know? We're the sheep of God's pastor. We should know. The Bible teaches that my sheep know my voice. A stranger they will not follow. And though I know that we're but children in the gospel, yet God intends for us to grow up. God intends for us to stop our bickering and backbiting and division and all of these things, looking for you know, somebody to lift us up and magnify us like a little child, wanting human praise and admiration, you know, and wanting to be something big in the eyes of the people, and literally cut our brother's throat to try to prove that we're something, you know, with all of our foolishness and childishness. Paul said God understands that when we're children. He understands that. But he said, there's a day that we should get away from those kind of things. He said, when I was a child, I act like a child. He said, but when I became a man, I put away those childish things. That is, when I was a child, I went on my way and I had people thrown into prison. And I got with the high priest and I tried to lift myself up as something. And I tried to make them look on me and think I was something. When I was a child, I did those kind of things because in my mind, he said, I didn't understand. He said, but brethren, when God struck me down and God opened my eyes and God turned me around, he said, I quit those childish things. And I got down to business with God, and today I know what God is doing because I have received the revelation of Jesus Christ. John the Revelator was the same way. John was sweet and loving. And because he was sweet and loving, and because he leaned on the breast of Jesus, and because he was concerned about God's people, he wasn't fighting and feuding and finding fault and causing division. He wasn't doing all of these evil things that the church world of today does. And because of that, he found favor with God. And one day God called him off to a little island called Patmos. And God opened up the heavens to him, and God came down, and God talked with him, and God made him to understand, and God opened a door in heaven, and God took him up into the wonderful world of God and showed him all of the beautiful things so that John could come back to the earth and testify that I have the revelation of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful thing that's taking place. Did you know the thing that's going to rapture the church is the revelation of Jesus Christ? Did you know that the man that doesn't have the revelation of Jesus Christ, did you know that he will not go in the rapture? Those that do not have the revelation of Jesus Christ will be left behind. Somebody would say, aha, I challenge you on that. Well, that's good. I need somebody to challenge me. I'd like to talk to you about it. But did you know, irregardless to how you feel and what you think, unless you have the revelation of Jesus Christ, you're not going to make the translation. You're not going to go in the rapture. Did you know the Bible teaches that Christ within you, that's the hope of glory, and that there is no hope of the glory of God except Christ be within you? It is because Christ is in your heart that you have a hope of that eternal world, or you have a hope of entering into that glory that Jesus appeared in as he stood on the Mount of Transfiguration when the Bible said he appeared in glory. Christ within you is the only hope that you've got of entering into that glory of God or go into that glory world. The reason is that the Bible teaches that Christ Jesus alone is the only one that has ever been made heir to the glory of God. There has never been anybody that was made heir to the glory of God except Jesus. And we are heirs to the glory of God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, the Bible said, if you have not Jesus Christ, or that is my spirit, that you're none of mine. You cannot call the Father in heaven, Father. You cannot call me Lord, Jesus said, unless you're born of my spirit. How can I be your Lord if my spirit is not within you? He said, you're of your father the devil if you don't have my spirit. So then without God's spirit, of Christ's spirit, we don't have any hope of eternal life. We don't have any hope of that world. How will we ever see the revelation of Jesus? How will we ever feed off of the things of God if we don't have the spirit of revelation? That's why the Bible tells us to pray that God will grant unto us the spirit of revelation. Paul said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Somebody would say, as I say so often, well, he wasn't speaking to the church, Brother Pike. Well, most assuredly, he wasn't speaking to people that are out there in the world. You say, but I believe he was speaking to those people in the world that wasn't saved, that they should pray that God would give unto them the spirit of revelation. Well, how could that be when the Bible said the prayers of the wicked is abomination in God's sight? So that couldn't be. God was speaking to the church. He was speaking to a believer. He was speaking to somebody that had come to an experience with God. And he said, you pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Like Paul meeting them over there, the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, it's recorded where Paul met him at the upper coast. There he met him. He said to them, have you received the spirit of Christ? They said, well, we're believers. We've been baptized. But he said, that's not the thing. Have you received the Spirit of Christ? See, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? How do you know that the Spirit of Christ is the Holy Ghost? There never has been but one Spirit that was holy. That was the Ghost of Christ Jesus. That is the only Spirit that was ever holy. He was holy, blameless. They found no fault in him. So when the Spirit of Christ departed, then it said, I will come back and be a comforter to you. I will return. Though I go away, I'll come again. I'll come into your hearts. And I'll inspire your hearts.
And I'll fill your hearts. And to them that look for me the second time, I will appear without sin unto salvation. And when this great, wonderful Spirit comes into our hearts or comes upon us, then we know that we're in touch with God. Now, I say this again, just to come upon us is not enough. The Bible teaches that God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Well, that is, the Spirit of God will be present with us to where we can prophesy. It'll be present with us to where we can believe. It'll be present with us to where we can taste of the heavenly gift. It'll be present with us to where we can not only taste of the heavenly gift, but be made partakers of the Holy Ghost to the extent that we taste of the power of the world to come. But that still does not mean we're elect. That still doesn't mean we have the Holy Ghost. That still doesn't mean we have the Spirit of Christ. Though we do all of these things, though we preach healing, though we might pray for the sick, though we might feel good, though we might be inspired, we might shout, we might sing, we might dance, but it doesn't prove that you've got Christ in you. It just means, as it was in the days of Saul, that the Spirit of God is present. Because when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul, he prophesied. When the Spirit of God came upon the prophets, they prophesied. But they did not have the Holy Ghost. In the days of John the Baptist, when the Spirit of God came upon the man, that is his father, he prophesied. Now, it is the same way today. The Spirit of God may come upon you and you may prophesy. The Spirit of God may come upon you and you may preach. The Spirit of God may come upon you and you may do many things. But brother, there's only one positive proof that you have the Spirit of Christ, and that is that you act like Christ, that you think like Christ, and that you live like Christ every day of the year. If you don't act like Jesus and talk like Jesus and think like Jesus, you don't have Jesus. The Bible teaches that this wonderful Spirit of Christ, it comes in you. And when it comes into you, you grow. When you're born as a little child into the kingdom of God and you receive the Spirit of Christ, you may not act like an elder in Christ because you are a child and you are growing. And you may make mistakes and you may stumble. But you can be sure of one thing. You'll never make a willful mistake. You'll never do anything willfully. It'll just be when you stumble and when you are ignorant of these things and when you don't understand, when you've not matured, and God will not require it of you. But there's one thing God will do. Because you're His child, He'll still give you an old-fashioned belt lashing, as we say. He'll give you an old-fashioned tanning, or that is, God will chastise them that He loves. Even though you don't know, God will still chasten you. For the Bible said that servant that knew not to do his Lord's will and committed things worthy of stripes shall be beaten, but with few stripes. That is, it'll be a merciful thing. But the servant that knew to do the Lord's will, and that servant did not do the Lord's will, the Bible says he shall be beaten with many stripes. And so then it's a wonderful thing to know that God is in you. And that you're growing up a little time into the wonderful fullness of God. See, right here is where we see the responsibility of a mother. The responsibility of a church. A church, a real, genuine church, is a mother. And the responsibility of those that have grown up in God is that they should watch over the children. The Bible said that the parents should lay up for the children. That we're to provide for the children. We are to watch those little ones in Christ that stumble and stagger. And we're not to lord over God's heritage. We're not to try to scare the life out of them to make them think we're some big something. But we're to be a mother to them. And we're to go to them and we're to feed them a little bit, you know. And when their little hearts are hungry, we share a little bit of revelation, or we share a little bit of inspiration, or we share a little bit of the Word of God, and then they grow bigger and they grow stronger. And though they don't understand the way that we understand, and though they're not capable of doing what we do, in that they don't have the strength, because we are parents. And the Bible said the parents should live for the children. But though they cannot do that, that is the children, yet they have a feeling of security and a sense of security that surrounds them and and overwhelms them to the extent that they feel big and strong, you know. They feel real strong because they know that daddy's nearby, brother and sister nearby, you know, and it makes them feel real big and real strong. Like the little boy that came over to visit today. His name was Joshua Adams. You know, his dad shouldn't have done this, but he did it. He said, show him some of the kung fu, is it? Kung fu, and I'll tell you what. He looked like he was a real artist. And he was a kicking and a snorting and a slinging his little hands. And you know, you could just tell he felt like Samson. He felt like he could handle anybody. You know why? Because daddy was close by. Daddy was close by. That's the way it is with a child of God. A little child in the faith, you've got to help him. He must mature. You know, he must develop. And God will have mercy on him. And God will chasten him along the way. God will do it. But brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. If you're planning to get to heaven without the Holy Ghost, you might as well forget about it. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, you really don't have to have the Holy Ghost because I got a revelation. And the Bible teaches you don't really have to have the Holy Ghost. You know, all you got to do is just believe. My brother, let me tell you something. No one is going to get to heaven without the Holy Ghost. Wherever you got your doctrine, I don't know, but you didn't get it from the book. You didn't get it from the Bible. It's not in the Bible. You can't show it to me in the Bible. You say, but the Bible said we're saved by faith. I know that. And when you believe, then the Holy Ghost comes in and seals your spirit. That is the seal of your faith. God gave Abraham the sign of circumcision. Isn't that right? Which was circumcision of the heart. God takes out the old spirits that I put within you a new spirit. God said, if you have not my spirit, you're none of mine. And the Bible said there's one spirit, and that is God's spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, which was God in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself. You've got to remember that Jesus said, I do nothing of myself. I'm just like a shell, and God in heaven, in all of his fullness, walks and talks in me, and God is reconciling the world back to himself. So then, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, then you won't make it in the translation. You won't make it in the rapture because Jesus said, if you have not my spirit, you are none of mine. And you cannot call me Lord except by the Holy Ghost. How then can I be your Lord? Jesus said, when you have not my spirit, how then can a woman be your wife if she hath not your spirit? According to the Bible, no longer is a man and a woman twain, but the Bible said concerning the mystery of marriage or of the church, no longer shall a man and woman be two, but they shall be one. That is, the man's spirit must overpower the woman's spirit, and the woman's spirit must submit to the man's spirit, and the woman's spirit leaves the daddy's spirit behind and takes on the man's spirit, and thus they become one. And if the woman refuses to leave daddy's spirit to go to husband's spirit, then the woman is not married to the man. That's the Bible. Now, if the church, which is the human body, if we take our spirit from our first birth, which is our father Adam, and if we don't give up our spirit, which our father Adam gave us, to take on our husband's spirit, which is the spirit of Jesus Christ, we are not the bride of the Son of God. If you have not my spirit, then you are none of mine. So then God made the woman the weaker spirit, that the man's spirit might overpower her spirit, and that she might take his spirit, and they might become one spirit. And this is what God intended. And if a woman doesn't do that, then she is not wife to her husband. So it's a wonderful thing to know that without his spirit, we're none of his. That's why that I delight in giving my spirit to God. Jesus said, Father, into thine hands I commend my spirit. Into thine hands, O God, I give my spirit. And unless you come to the place to where you die to your body, you die out to your reasoning, you die out to your ambitions, you die out to your human design, all of the things that you want to do in the earth, unless you do that, you are not one with the Heavenly Father. So then we come again to what David said. Is there not anybody in the earth that has the Spirit of Christ? Is there not anybody in the earth that knows? Is there not a prophet in the land? Isn't there somebody that God can talk to? God has got people that He can talk to. God has always had people that He could talk to. But what's happening at this very moment? God is narrowing it down. Why is God narrowing it down? Because of the hypocrisy and the hypocrites that's got in the church, even among the ministry. Because rather than try to lift up and help and work together or get in and be one unit for God, they want to fight. They're after prestige and fame and following. And they're after money and after the things of this world. And God has rejected them, and God is turning them over to a reprobate mind to think that they're doing His will and to believe that they're doing His will. And all of the time they're in darkness of their own human reasoning and following Satan every step of the way. They are reprobate to every good work. They work against God and against what God's doing. And God has just put them in the outer darkness. All because they wouldn't follow the will and word of God. And God is narrowing it down. And narrowing it down for what reason? The coming of the Lord Jesus is at hand. The coming of the revelation of Jesus Christ is at hand. And God is narrowing it down for the simple reason that God wants one people, and God is going to have one people, and it's not going to be a dozen group of people. It's going to be one body of Christ, all of them in the same unit, all of them in the same body, all of them speaking the same thing, all of them in the same doctrine, and Christ is coming back for them. That's all over the world it will be like that. So then we see it's the end of the world of denominationalism. It's the end of the world of barriers. It's the end of the world of division and jealousy and resentment and all these things. That means that we've got to move in closer. Every child of God has got to move in close, because if he doesn't, he's going to be left in the outer darkness. If he doesn't, he isn't going to make the translation. If he doesn't move in close and unite brotherhood with brotherhood and sisterhood with sisterhood, if they don't come in, then God's going to cut them off. You know, I speak of the sisters. A lot of people say, well, in heaven it's just all brothers. The Bible says the daughters of the Lord. I love to preach what the Bible says, don't you? So then when sisters join in with sisters and brothers join in with brothers, and as they grow in the great things of God, as they come together, they're going to have to be perfect. They're going to have to put everything away. And as that individual, man or woman, whatever, as they grow more perfect in God, they pull together in one unit. They pull together in one unit. As they draw together in this unit, everybody that is not perfect is left outside. Isn't that wonderful? How have you loved Jesus? Brother, that's not psychology. That's a lying spirit that's talking to you. That's what it is. It's that reprobate mind you give place to. God knows the thoughts of your heart. You're fighting against God. So then we see the wonderful things of God. You know, people would love to deceive you, wouldn't they? They'd love to deceive you. They would love for you to think one thing while God is saying another and while God is doing another. But the Bible said, beware lest any man deceive you. Lest any man take your crown. Did you know there's devils that's reaching to get your crown? There's devils that's using people that would like to sidetrack you and like to cause you to miss the truth. That would like to indoctrinate you or program you to their own corrupt way of thinking and their own personal motive and ambition for their own personal desire and worldly gain. Did you know that there's people in the world that would like to do that? While there's devils in human form walking the earth everywhere that would like to do that. But you know what? There's one thing about it. Devils can't stand before the Word of God. That's one thing about it. The Word of God casts out devils. Get a person or get a church or get people that are trying to do that, that's creating confusion. And when they get in the Word of God, they get so frustrated and tore up that they can't even keep themselves together. You know why? Because when you begin to remind them of what God said, the Word of God torments them, and they know that they're headed for that bottomless pit. And they know that they're headed for the flames, and they get nervous and tore up. And then they begin to plead to try to find their way. I saw not too long ago, I believe one of the greatest men that ever lived in the world, and one of the greatest men at this hour that's living in the world, one of the most powerful Bible scholars that I have never known anybody anywhere in the different parts of the world that ever stood before him. But I saw him sit and cry like a little child and break down, and I saw him just about go to pieces when he come face to face with the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he realized that with all that he had tried to do, he realized that he was in error and that God wanted him to straighten that thing out. And he cried and he submitted wholeheartedly to the revelation of Jesus Christ, and has been submitted ever since. There is but one way, and that is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. If you have that Spirit, the Bible teaches that you will have your fruits unto holiness, and the end thereof eternal or everlasting life. If you don't have the fruits of holiness in your life, then you don't have eternal life. If you as a man can sit around and talk about women and put in a little joke on the side about a base way of life, then brother, you don't have the Holy Ghost. You missed it. You don't have the Holy Spirit, and you don't have cleanliness in your life. Because the Bible said those things that are done in secret, that it's a shame for you to even make mention of those things. Even one time among you as becometh saints. If you cannot fellowship your brother and join hands with your brother, you don't have the Holy Ghost. Because the Bible said if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you will have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. If you don't have the charitable love of God in your heart that esteems your brother better than yourself, and that looks on the things of your brother instead of looking on the things of yourself, you don't have the Spirit of Christ, and you don't have the Holy Ghost. Because the Spirit of Christ was that washed his brother's feet. It was that gave its life for the brother. It was that esteemed all better than himself, and took upon him the form of a servant, that he might come and serve the people as a humble servant. Jesus did that. If you don't have that Spirit in you, you don't have the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you don't have the Spirit of meekness, if you don't have the Spirit of temperance, if you don't have the Spirit of long-suffering, if you don't have the Spirit of godly joy that's overflowing the banks of your Jordan, as we say, if you don't have that knowledge of God, and if you don't have what the Bible calls godliness, if you don't have the patience, if you don't have the sacrificial charity in your life, you don't have the Spirit of God. Therefore, the Bible said you'll be barren because you don't have the Spirit of God. But brothers, if you've got the Spirit of Christ Jesus, then your life will overflow with joy and jubilance and faith and godliness and patience and meekness and long-suffering. And I'll tell you, if you can sit around a TV set and you can watch the corruption on it, or you can watch the movies on it, or if you can pick up the newspapers and read the corruption in it and be interested in the ball games and the scores of the ball games, and if you can sit around and backbite and gossip, and if you can sit around with jealousy and with envy and strife and find fault, then you don't have the Spirit of Christ Jesus. Because it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You say, well, Brother Pike, I'll have you to know I believe just as much as you believe. I don't doubt that. The Bible said if you believe this one God, you do well. The devil believes too. And he trembles when he thinks about it. But will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And the Bible says this, when they said, Jesus, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, I am the works of God. Temperance, patience, love, peace, meekness, all of these things. He said, this is the works of God. This is the works of God. Work the works while it's day. Because in the night of intellectual reasoning, you can't work the works of God. And soon the Antichrist will take over. And soon the church will be taken out. And soon the mind of Christ will be gone. And the world will be in total darkness, and gross darkness shall cover the people. And in that hour, you can't manifest the fruits and love and Spirit of God. They would kill you even if you tried. So then work while it's day, while grace is here, while the blood is still on the seat of atonement. You know, saying these few little things tonight and exhorting you, I hope you can catalog them in your heart and think it over. Now then, tonight, I had the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning what happened yesterday and what happened today. But the Lord showed me not to try to get into it tonight. The atmosphere wasn't right. He didn't want it. But ordinarily, I would have got into it because my heart has been burning like fire with it today. And I always try my best to get into it with you. But he showed me that he didn't want me to do it tonight. And so then I took another route, and I just decided to talk to you a little bit and exalt you a little bit and help you to understand better them that have the Spirit of Christ and them that do not have the Spirit of Christ and what you should do if you want to be like Daniel, to know how long, and if you want to be like David, to believe that there is a prophet somewhere in the land, or that God has sons and daughters or people somewhere in the land that he can talk to and share this wonderful revelation of Jesus Christ with. I want you to stand with me. I watched Satan today all day long, even until right now. I watched him carefully try so hard to get me to say something that he could put his finger on, and for me to say something to where he could trap me in my words. I watched today somebody try so hard. I watched them as they tried to trap me in my words, and the Lord spoke to me. And I sat there, and I could hear the Lord say very carefully, "Watch what you say. Be careful, my son. They want to trap you in your words. Hold fast now. Be steady. I'll tell you what to say. And they won't be able to find a thing." And very carefully I did what the Lord told me. And to the utter amazement of some of them, the others could not trap me in my words. And finally, all had to submit to what I was saying. You know, God is good, isn't he? You can't win against God. There ain't no way. Only a fool would fight against God. You know, a lot of times we think because we have riches that God will take special notice and we can fight against God. We think because we're handsome or pretty, you know, and we got plenty of youth, well, that gives us the reason that God will respect us and we can fight against God. Or we think because we got a little age and we're seasoned, we've learned a little more and we've studied a little more, that we can know more, you know, so then we can fight against God and he'll have respect to person, you know, to us, in that we jump on somebody else or put them down. That is, we don't think we're fighting against God, but that's what it's all about. But brother, I want you to know something. Jesus is no respecter of person. What he says to one, he says to all. That's Brother Pike, that's you, that's every other preacher, that's every other brother, that's every prophet that ever lived. That's every man, woman, boy, and girl from the foundation of the world unto the consummation thereof. God said, "What I have said unto one, I have said unto all. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever." You know, we need to think this over. Because we're in the days of grace, we have that feeling that we're getting by with our wrong, and that God isn't going to charge it to us. Well, let me tell you something, folks. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is the same as he was in the days of Moses. The same God that had the thoughts to open up the earth and let the earth swallow them up to answer Moses' prayer that the people might go down into the pit quickly. That same great God feels the same way today. Somebody would say, "Well, I just don't feel like God feels the same." He feels identically the same. He hasn't changed it one bit. He's looking forward to the day when he can open the pit quickly and let you go down into the flames of hell. "I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. For I, in the day of grace, I'm still angry with the wicked every day. I've given grace for my people that the church might be perfected and have time to develop. I've given grace that men might multiply upon the face of the earth unto the last generation, so I can pick even out of that generation those that belong to me. I've given grace and made allowance for the wicked when I hate them every day. And every day I'm angry with them. And every day their prayers are abomination in my sight. And every day all of their offerings and their religious activities are an abomination in my sight. And he said, there's no peace to the wicked people. They're like the troubled waters that's ever casting their mire up upon the bank. I will pursue them till they perish from off of the face of the earth. And ye wicked ones, he said, beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. Now, in the days of ignorance, he was able to give grace. God was able to give grace, even to the wicked. For he said, it's not my will that any should perish. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I'd rather that they would repent. But he doesn't change his feelings about the wicked. Now, he made the earth to be inhabited, but not by the wicked. And just as soon as Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the fire came. They are the salt of the earth. This, as we said a little earlier today, has to do with our brother Jack Jernigan coming from Salt Lake City. It has to do with the rapture and the salt of the earth. And so then, seeing that God is no respecter of person, seeing and understanding that he requires out of you what he requires out of me, what he says unto one, he says unto all, seeing that he hasn't changed one iota, he's just given grace so the church can get ready. That the very day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the salt of the earth was gone. The fire came. God wanted to confirm this. So he took one person that looked back into Sodom and he turned him into a pillar of salt to stand as a memorial that the salt of the earth and that hour had left and that God had done away with those wicked people. So then if the very day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, there came the fire, then brothers and sisters, let me tell you something, that the very minute that the church goes out of the earth, God's going to turn loose those four winds of revelation and the bombing and all of these awful, hideous things are going to befall the people. Because grace is not here for the wicked. You might enjoy it in that you are wicked. Sin for a season, you might enjoy it. And you might say, God loves us. And God is just like we are. He said, you think I'm altogether such a one as you because I've given you grace, that is. But someday I'll meet you face to face as a bear that has been robbed of her cubs. So then being wicked, you might think that God has given this grace to you wicked people. And he has in a sense of repentance. But that he has given it to you wicked people and that you can do the things that you're doing and you can manipulate and you can cut corners because God is the great God of grace and God will not deal with you. But I want you to know that the Bible said God saves us by judgment. God is the great God of his word. And his word is law settled in heaven. It cannot be altered. It cannot be changed. It's the same to every generation. And this great law that God set up in the days of Moses is the thing that you're going to face in the day of judgment. And you're not going to face a God of grace. You might as well get that out of your mind. If you think God gave grace to the wicked, then you just wait until the church goes out and see how much grace the wicked has. The day that Lot went out, God burned the place. Now listen, in the day of the judgment, if you think you're going to find love and grace before God, you just wait till you get there. The Bible said everyone that is fallen from grace, that is, that's not a Christian, everyone he hath rejected, everyone that has not received the blood of Jesus Christ in the atonement, that the Spirit of God may come in and seal their inner heart and their inner spirit, that they may produce the fruits of the Spirit, having the fruits of holiness and the end thereof eternal life. Everyone that has not received this great, wonderful Holy Ghost, the wonderful Spirit of Christ, every one of them that's fallen from grace, the Bible said they are under the law, and they shall be judged according to the law, and they shall be judged according to the great wrath of God. And Jesus, his own, God's own Son, that was made sin for Brother Pike and the true believers, that he might be smitten. God, if he did not spare his own Son, Paul warns us, seeing that God did not spare his own Son, is he going to spare you and I? Is he going to spare you and I. No, beloved friend, he isn't. He isn't. You can play games with God. You can get you a little following. You can get you a church. You can get you a little group to gossip to and backbite. And you can build yourself up and you can magnify yourself. When the Bible said if you testify of yourself, then you are a liar. Your testimony is not true. You can do all of those things while others testify of the love of God and the blessings of God and Jesus Christ and His great wonderful work in the earth. You can do all those evil things that we made mention of, but someday your folly will be made manifest and God will see it. And all of your secret thoughts will be brought forth. And the Bible said God will judge the secrets of men's heart. God will judge the secrets. You might get off out yonder and whisper here. You might get off out yonder and tell things that you wouldn't say in the presence of these people or in my presence. But I want you to know that God sees it, and someday God will manifest every bit of it. And every thought you've ever had, every wicked, evil thing you've ever done or said, you'll give an account thereof in the day of judgment. And Paul said, in that day when God shall judge the secrets of men's heart by this gospel which I preach. And what was that gospel? The revelation of Jesus Christ. When God shall judge the secrets of men's heart by this wonderful revelation of Jesus Christ. Thus Paul said, the revelation was made unto me, and said, I'm your overseer of the Gentile church. For as it is written, God has set me to be a light unto the ends of the earth. So then, he tells us that you pray that you will receive this wonderful spirit of revelation, in that my great overseer, Paul, said that I should pray that I should receive the revelation of Jesus Christ. I prayed, and God gave me the revelation of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I say unto you the same. You pray that God will grant unto you the wonderful revelation of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Sing a song together. Let's sing this little chorus. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. He's a counselor and a prince of peace. Mighty God is He. Oh, He's saving me and forgiving me of all my strife. Wonderful, my Redeemer, glory to His name. Oh, He's wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's a Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. Oh, He's saving me and He's keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to His name. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's a Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. Oh, He's saving me and He's keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to His name. Sing it again. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's a Counselor and a Prince of Peace. Oh, mighty God is He. He's saving me and keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to His. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. He's a Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. He's keeping me and He's saving me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to His name. You love Jesus? Have you really loved Jesus? Let's sing it again if you really love Jesus. And let's worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. You know, if you have the Spirit of Christ within you, then you can worship Him. Paul said, "The Christ or God whom I serve or worship with my spirit." And when you yield your spirit to the confidence and faith that He is your Master, He is your Savior, because you are doing all that you know to completely love and serve and follow Him. When you do this, you'll feel that wonderful touch from heaven, And you'll feel that wonderful wooing that I feel right now. And you'll feel that wonderful Holy Ghost come down on you. And you get rid of that mind of strife and envy and unbelief and bickering and backbiting and hatred and malice. And you surrender your heart in the love of God. Oh, hallelujah, you'll feel what I feel right now. Oh, He's wonderful. Wonderful Jesus is to me. He's a Counselor and a Prince of Peace. Mighty God is He. Oh, He's saving me and He's keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer. Glory to one more time now. He's wonderful. Wonderful my Jesus is to me. He's a Counselor and a Prince of Peace. One is He. Oh, He's keeping me and saving me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer. Glory to His name. Somebody say hallelujah. How wonderful Jesus is. How wonderful Jesus is. Let's sing this little chorus. I love Him. Oh, I love Him. All because He first loved me. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Let's sing it again, can we? Oh, I love You, Jesus. Oh, I love You, Jesus. All because that You first loved me, and You purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Don't you love Jesus? A stream it's flowing down from Calvary. That stream it's flowing and it cleanses me from sin and shame. In Jesus' name, that stream is flowing down from Calvary. Sing it again. See a stream that's flowing down from Calvary. A stream it's flowing and it cleanses me from sin and shame. In Jesus' name, my stream is flowing from Calvary. Oh, don't you feel Jesus? Oh, Ramandari and Robo Shidabari and Romo Sandor Messiah. Oh, Lamasi and Lialamo Shidabari and Romo Sandoriasai. Hallelujah. Don't you feel the Holy Ghost? Don't you feel Jesus? Don't you have that assurance of eternal life? Oh, Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Have you got the Holy Ghost? Have you got the wonderful Spirit of Jesus tonight? Oh, hallelujah. I feel the wonderful anointing of God, the wonderful Holy Ghost, the wonderful presence of Jesus, that wonderful quickening Spirit that raised up my Savior from the dead. I feel the wonderful assurance of eternal life. I am alive from the dead forevermore. I am alive, Jesus said, to die no more. I'm alive. Hallelujah. I live forever. Hallelujah. The Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. The day sprang from on high that has visited my people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Don't you feel that wonderful tug from heaven? Don't you feel that wonderful Spirit? Don't you feel the presence of God tonight? As the Holy Spirit passes through you tonight, as God comes into you tonight to take up His wonderful abode, glory, 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 hallelujah. Can you praise God? The Bible said God inhabits the praise of His people. If you praise Him from your heart, if you love Him from your heart, you'll feel that wonderful Spirit of God tonight as it moves in and out the windows of your soul. Hallelujah, that wonderful glory of God that He promised, that was poured out at Calvary. Oh, hallelujah. You start singing about the blood and how the blood flowed down from Calvary, how it came from Emmanuel's veins, and all of a sudden you feel His presence. You feel His wonderful presence. Hallelujah. Glory to the wonderful name of Jesus. As the song says, can you reach out and touch the Lord tonight? Let's sing a chorus of that, can we? Can you reach out and touch Jesus tonight? Some of you have needs. You need to reach out and touch Jesus. If you believe in deliverance, you ought to be able to reach out and touch Jesus. God wants to heal you. God wants to save you. God wants to deliver you. Nothing can ever change my mind about that. Can you sing that with me? Mm-hmm. Oh, reach out and touch my Lord as He goes by. You'll find to hear your heart's cry. Oh, He's passing by this moment. Can you hear Him? Can you hear Him, or can you feel His touch? Can you feel the touch of Jesus tonight? He goes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. And you'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. Oh, He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Just reach out and touch Jesus as He goes by. Can you sing one more time now? Reach out and touch my Lord as He goes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. Oh, He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Just reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Since Jesus came and saved my soul, everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right since Jesus came and saved my soul, everything gonna be all right. So let us praise Him. Praise Him. Let us praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at the noontime. Let's praise Him. Let us praise Him. Praise Him when the sun goes down. Oh, sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven's come down. Oh, heaven's come down. Oh, sometimes I feel heaven's come down. Heaven's come down on me. So let us praise Him, praise Him, praise Him in the morning, praise Him at the noontime, Oh, let us praise Him, praise Him when the sun goes down. Hallelujah. You know, that's like that woman we're speaking about today, the lady that came from over in Kentucky, said that her mother, who knows nothing of Bethlehem, had a vision of Bethlehem, a night vision, and said God showed her a great revival spring out over here in Bethlehem. Would you like to see that happen? Would you like to see that happen? Spring out and spread around the world. You know how we can do it? We can do it like this. Give me another key, Frank. I'll show you how we can do it. We will enter His gates with thanksgiving in our heart, and we'll enter His courts with praise, and we'll say this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice, for Jesus made us glad. Oh, He hath made us glad. Oh, Jesus made us glad. We will rejoice, cause Jesus made us glad. Oh, He hath made us glad. Oh, Jesus made us glad. And we will rejoice, cause Jesus made us glad. I'm gonna enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. We're gonna enter His courts with praise. And we're gonna say this is the day that our Lord hath made. We're gonna rejoice cause Jesus made us glad. Oh, Jesus made us glad. Oh, Jesus made us glad. We're gonna rejoice cause Jesus made us glad. Oh, He hath made us glad. Oh, Jesus made us glad. We're gonna rejoice cause Jesus made us glad. One more time. We're gonna enter these gates with thanksgiving in our heart. We're gonna enter these courts with praise. We're gonna say this is the day that the Lord hath made. We're gonna rejoice cause Jesus made us glad. Oh, Jesus made us glad. Oh, Jesus made us glad. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice cause Jesus. Just one more time. Oh, we're gonna enter these gates with thanksgiving in our heart. We're gonna enter these courts with praise. And we're gonna say this is the day that the Lord hath made. We're gonna rejoice cause Jesus made us glad. Oh, Jesus made us glad. Jesus made us glad. gonna rejoice cause Jesus made us glad. Oh, Jesus made us glad. Oh, Jesus made us glad. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus made us glad. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. We're gonna rejoice cause Jesus made us glad. You know, they were all in one mind and one accord on the day of Pentecost, all walking hand in hand, and the great, wonderful power of God, the great Holy Ghost, swept down from heaven and swept over them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and the great church of the Holy Union was set up. The great church of the Holy Union. You know what we need at Bethlehem? The great church of the Holy Union. Let the Holy Spirit unionize member to member and bring us together. You know, when they landed here in America, they set up a great confederation. It was called the Confederation of the Union, and it stood many years. But what we need is that Holy Ghost union, that Holy God of union. We need a great revival of holy union where brother can feel brother's love from breast to breast, and the wonderful holy love of God will sweetly, sweetly enrapture the congregation till there's not one ill feeling, not one troubling thought. Forgetting those things that are behind, His mercies are new every day. And turning to the wonderful Holy Spirit, saying, "Oh my Father, oh my Father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof," until the wonderful Holy Spirit comes into your breast and into mine, and the love of God flows from breast to breast. Then, my brother, we'll be ready for the rapture. Did you know I feel that taking place? I felt it here tonight. We're going to sing this little chorus. While I'm singing, I'm going to ask Stan to come and dismiss us tonight. Brother Stan Baker. Let's sing this chorus, "Weep Over My Soul." You know, tonight, Satan intended to hinder this service and stop it. How many of you had discernment to know that? Absolutely. And not only that, but he sent some people to try to interfere with it. But God sweetly, wonderfully confounded them till they didn't know what to think. Let's sing this together. Give me another key, Frank. "Sweep over my soul." "Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore." Can you sing that again now? "For I have anchored my soul